Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ron, is there anything else that you think they need or could use?
More Mark Grody.
Oh, hi, Mark.
It's Mark Grody on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Yeah, there I am. What's going on? Welcome in to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hope you enjoyed Bears All Access over the last hour. I know that I'll find some time to talk Bears at some point in time with you in the next 3 hours. Because, yeah, I get 3 hours with you here at 670 The Score. And I'm kind of distracted because I'm looking at my Twitter right now. I posted a question about, I guess, 18 minutes ago now. It said, what would you do? Here's what I wrote. I wrote, what would you do to stimulate the Cubs offense? This has been going on far too long. And it is definitely a question I want to ask you. The reason that I was distracted is because it has 50 responses. Well, just 50 people actually wrote about it. Then there was a few retweets and then 22 likes. So nearing 100 responses to that question, which is apparently very – I can't imagine what some of the answers are. I will – as we say in – well, we say in the business, I suppose. I learned this terminology playing the clarinet for 20 years of my life. There's something that we did called sight reading where you just get a piece of music and you have to play it. Like, you do that for contests and things. Like, how good can you play something that you've never seen before and they just put it right in front of your face? That's what I'll do with the Twitter responses. I will open up Twitter in a few minutes and I will see what the responses are, sight reading them to you, having not reviewed what has gone down. There is a lot of baseball to talk about for both of our teams, which we will get into. But hello, I hope you are doing well, middle of the week, Wednesday here on The Score. And I got a jam-packed show for you tonight with some awesome guests. Mike Rankin, our executive producer, put together a wonderful show as far as the guests are concerned. And at 7:20 tonight, a guy that I've been wanting to talk to is the Bulls TV voice, Adam Amin. He will join me at 7 o'clock tonight. We will obviously talk about the Chicago Bulls, who had a tremendous win last night against Indiana. I don't care who wasn't playing for Indiana last night. That was a good win, 113-97 over the Pacers with Nikola Vucevic looking amazing in that game. The way that you wanted to see him look from the second he got here. It's taken a second to get some things together, but it looks like they're starting to, and we'll ask Adam about the Bulls and where this thing is going forward. So Amin and the Bulls in about 15 minutes from right now. At 8 o'clock tonight, Ryan McGuffey of NBC Sports Chicago to talk about the White Sox, who, by the way, just lost to Seattle 8-4. I don't know whose loss was worse today, the Cubs or the White Sox. Probably the Sox, because it's Seattle, and they had a horrendous, horrendous day today from Matt Foster in the sixth inning. What did he allow? He ended up allowing 7 runs. I don't think they were all his runs necessarily,
but he allowed them all, came in relief of Dallas Keuchel. But we'll break that down. Some shady defense again for the Sox. A base running blunder. Another near error in the outfield today for the White Sox. So it just was not a good day for the White Sox nor for the Cubs. But we will zero in on the Cubs here momentarily. And Bruce Levine will join me at 840. He of 670thescore.com. to talk about the Cubs. I believe he was at the Cubs game today, so we'll focus on the Cubs with him. Not that we can't ask him about the White Sox and other baseball questions as well. So, yeah, I mean, the question does remain for you. What would you do to stimulate the Cubs offense? 312-644-6767 is the number to call in. You could also call in with your answers to that. Mike Rankin is the man to whom you will speak if you would like to be on the radio. Again, 312-644-6767. I am textable at that same number. I'll say it one more time for now. 312-644-6767 is the way to do it. And by the way, Twitter as well, as the Twitter responses continue to come in on what you would do to stimulate the Cubs offense, at Mark Grote Sports is the way to do that. G-R-O-T-E is the way we spell the last name these days. All right, so the Cubs today, if you didn't see the game, they lost to the Milwaukee Brewers 4-2 in 10 innings. The thing is the Cubs offense was again frozen. Low volume. They didn't have a hit in this game until Ian Happ in the seventh inning, and even that didn't turn into anything. Lorenzo Cain was the offensive story for Milwaukee. A three-run homer against Brandon Workman. That was in the 10th inning. He also hit a solo show earlier in the game. That one happened to come against Alec Mills, about whom we must speak as well. And, yeah, so here we go again with the Cubs offense. And this has been going on too long now. This is not something where you say, all right, well, it's early in the season and, you know, it takes a while. There are 162 games. I don't want to hear any of that crap. Plus, the hitting conditions have been favorable for two straight days now. Last night, it was good hitting. And today, I listened to the beginning of the broadcast on the radio. One of the first things that Pat Hughes said on 670 The Score today is that today is another good hitting day, but not for the Cubs and not for their offense. And here's what's going on with the Cubs, something that was happening last year as well. It's happening this year again and happening today. The Cubs are missing their pitches. They're missing the meatballs from the opposing pitchers. Now, I will say Brandon Woodruff is awesome. He's a terrific starter, but there were opportunities still missed by the Cubs. And this is in no particular order. Like, even at the very end of this game, the Cubs loaded the bases in the 10th inning. Brad Boxberger comes in. And if you say Brad Boxberger, make sure you do it like that. Make sure you do it in the voice of, like, Wayne Lair. Brad Boxberger! Or you switch the... Brad Boxberger! However you would like to do that. But Brad Boxberger needs to be said with several exclamation points. He gets into this game. He got Ian Happ to pop out with the bases loaded. There were two or three pitches that Happ should have scalded. I mean, he's batting lefty against the righty Boxberger. And he was missing pitches. He was missing pitches. And you heard the crowd. I heard you out there, 10,000 plus, going crazy in that inning, and nothing doing with Ian Happ. That was just one example, though, in the game. Another specific at-bat, 312-644-6767, if you want to jump in, by the way. Another specific at-bat was that of Chris Bryant today. And Bryant missed pitches. It's the ninth inning. It's a 1-1 game. Josh Hader had just walked Anthony Rizzo. KB works the count 2-1. So there you go. You're in such a good spot right there. 2-1. Hader looks a little bit wild. He looks like he's throwing as hard as he pot. Like he's not that he always isn't, but he's maximum effort Hader. And KB takes this really weird protect, like he took an 0-2 swing on a 2-1 count and then ultimately strikes out looking on a slider. So He missed his pitch against a terrific reliever, but it was a hittable pitch, one that should have been hit. So these are just examples of what's going on with the Cubs and missing their pitches. Because I want to make sure I want to be specific, because I'm watching these games and I want to give the Cubs the benefit of the doubt. You want to say, well, there's conditions or just unhittable pitches, but that's not the case. Not the case. In the seventh inning, probably more of a missed opportunity. When Happ does get the first hit of the game for the Cubs in the seventh inning, then Sogard comes up, he pops out, Rizzo grounds out. He ultimately ended up on second base, and then Chris Bryant pops out to right field. Now, that was interesting because he hits this looping ball into right field. Avisail Garcia comes sprinting in, makes a shoelace catch. If he doesn't make that play, who knows how this game turns out. But you get where I'm coming from, that the Cubs are missing pitches and missing opportunities, and this is the way the Cubs have looked for a year and change, and they paid for it today by way of a 4-2 loss to the Milwaukee Brewers in 10 innings. The good, yeah, definitely Kyle Hendricks today. Kyle Hendricks was excellent. Rebounds from his first start where he goes 6 shutout innings, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts, a walk, pitched out of that fourth inning leadoff double to Christian Yelich, had a first and third situation, a newer type of situation in the sixth inning, first and third, one out, and it got out of that. I think it was Travis Shaw who popped out. So great stuff from Kyle Hendricks, but the offense just continues to decrescendo, using another clarinet word. This is interesting. All right, so this is before the game, mind you, but this actually held up. I was listening to Bernstein and Rahimi today. They had Cody Decker on, the former big leaguer, and he was asked the question about the hitting. And this was his response to that.
How do you fix it? It's early in the season, so I don't think going on trying to fix it this early is worth it. But their offense is not what worries me. Their arms are what worries me still. That is not a team that can afford to not hit. That team doesn't hit, they do not win, plain and simple. And we know what that team is this year. They are shooting for a wild card spot. They have virtually no shot at winning this division. But they could feasibly win second place and snag one of those wild cards. They could feasibly go to third place and snag one of those wild cards. But it's a team that needs desperately to pitch. It's a team that desperately needs to hit, because those arms in the back, especially in the back end of the bullpen, just aren't there.
Yeah, and that turns out to be actually even more pertinent. That's Cody Decker on Bernstein and Rahimi on the Score today. I'm Mark Grody. The part about the back of the bullpen. Now, Craig Kimbrell has looked good, and he looked good again today. He was very good. 1-2-3 ninth inning. He was hit, I think I saw 97 or 98 on the gun. He also looks the part, by the way. He's got the wavy hair and the dirty beard going on again. He was too cleaned up last year. Maybe that was part of the problem. But you know, Kimbrel has been fine. But Lorenzo Cain, his first home run was off of Alec Mills in the eighth inning. I'm not sure, like, what is it about Alec Mills that says high leverage? Because closed out the game the other day. I understand that you can't pitch Kimbrel every single day. I totally understand that. But I wonder what it is. I do wonder what it is about Alec Mills that he has been asked to come in late inning situations. And again, in the eighth inning today, and he gives up the homer to Lorenzo Cain. I don't know. When I was doing pre and post for the Cubs, Alec Mills was not there, or at least I never interacted with him, so I don't know if there's something about him that he's got that thing, he's got that mentality where he can be a late inning, high leverage closer type of guy, but he just brings back memories of somebody like Joe Borowski of the Cubs, sweaty Joe Borowski, who was kind of a soft thrower, but I never, like, every single time Joe Borowski pitched and he got saves, I was like, that's great. How did he do that? How did that happen? So Alec Mills coming in the eighth inning and failing. And then the 3-run homer off of Brandon Workman today off the bat of Lorenzo Cain. So to Cody Decker's point, and he talked about that a lot more in the interview as well, that he was very worried about the bullpen and the arms. I've been going into this season, and I'll stand by it. You know, things can obviously change, but I've been more worried about the starting pitching for the Cubs, which has actually been decent so far this year. 1 out of 2 for Kyle Hendricks in terms of his good starts today was terrific. Arrieta, not bad at all. Zach Davies, terrific. 5 no-hit innings. Adbert Alzolay, not so good. Not so good yesterday. But that's still something that I will be zeroing in on, the starting pitching. I honestly thought that the offense was just going to be better this year. Like, you just, and maybe I'm guilty of doing the same thing that Theo Epstein and to a similar degree Jed Hoyer has done, where you have these guys, your core guys like Javier Baez and Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Jason Hayward and Wilson Contreras, all like names that should get a rise out of you. And you just keep thinking, they've got to start hitting, right? Like, they're going to start being who we think they are, who they have been at times in their career. And right now, it's not happening. And then just for the heck of it, Jock Peterson had a terrible start to the season, 0-for, until he snapped out of that with his first hit today in the 8th inning. It happened to be a decisive bang of a home run. So, yeah, nothing is quite right for the Cubs as far as the offense, and that's why I asked the question. Let's bring it back to that. 312-644-6767. What would you do to stimulate the Cubs offense? Let's go to Jim in St. Charles. Hi, Jim. You're on the Score.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm well, Jim.
Yeah, I would say get themselves some leadoff hitters. If you look in the past, you know, 2016, they had a leadoff hitter that was decent. Then you look in 84, you had Sandberg and all that.
Dernier.
You know, top and Dernier. And then in 89, you look in the past, they had the leadoff hitters, the 1-2 guys that'll get on for your big boppers, you know, your Bryants and all of them. Then get the better pitchers. That would help.
Got you, man. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but Bob, the Daily Dub, that goes way back. 84, Bob Dernier, Ryan Sandberg. 89, you had, we all remember, Jerome Walton and Dwight Smith. And then I think, yeah, look, there's been some classic leadoff, like the Cubs had Juan Pierre for a while, and then the best of the best in the golden era of Cubs baseball, it was Dexter Fowler. And, hey, he might become available because of the kid who hit the game-winning home run against the White Sox the other day. I forget the guy's name off the top of my head. But who knows? Fowler might find himself on Joe Maddon's bench eventually. He might be available. You go, we go. It's possible. But, yeah, I mean, that has been a forever problem. That problem still has not been solved since Dexter Fowler left. And, yeah, Ian Happ has been holding it down pretty well. But it can be better still for sure. We will definitely revisit the Cubs a little bit later on, try to figure out their offense. We'll also talk about, there is a lot to dig through from the White Sox game today, a loss to Seattle 8-4. I promise you, we will dig into the minutia of that, and Ryan McGuffey will talk White Sox with us at 8 o'clock. Coming up next, let's talk Bulls with the TV voice of the Bulls, Adam Amin. He's next. This is the Grody Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Okay, let's do it.
You can drive home safely, Chicago. Beep, beep. Feels good to say that. Back-to-back games now.
113-97, the Bulls with an excellent road performance. First time at Bankers Life Fieldhouse that the Bulls win back-to-back games. This after having lost 8 straight in Indianapolis.
Mark Grody with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Just sipping night coffee with you. I am here with you until 10 o'clock. Venti Pike, by the way. Talking Chicago sports. Going to talk White Sox with Ryan McGuffey at 8 o'clock. So a little bit over 30 minutes from now. Sox lost, Cubs lost. We'll get back to the baseball talk. The voice you just heard right there was that of Adam Amin, the TV play-by-play voice of the Bulls, working with Stacey King on NBC Sports Chicago. And yeah, those two got to call a great game last night. The Bulls with a 113-97 win at Indiana, as you heard right there in the highlights. And Adam Amin joins me now on the Score. What's going on, Adam? How are you, man?
Everything's good. Mark, how are you doing, brother?
I am doing well. And was that, would you say that that was the most impressive game this year for the Bulls, considering that Nikola Vucevic did what he did with the 32 points and 17 rebounds?
I think the last two, you know, I think the last two are probably the two most complete performances we've seen in a while. Now, again, it's a very small sample size with Vucevic. He's only been around for, you know, a week and a half at this point. He's played one home game so far. And now the Bulls are going on another season-long road trip here with five games. So it's hard to evaluate it in the largest arc of the season, but the last two games, it feels very complete. And at the very least, even if you don't feel it's complete, which it, certainly you can make an argument on the defensive end, but I will say that the blueprint for what I think this team can, maybe should be going forward offensively, and certainly flashes of what we've seen defensively over the last three or four games, I think we're starting to see a blueprint form, and that's a good thing.
And yeah.
10 days, but that's a good thing to get after a trade.
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously, the most important thing, I think, for the Bulls right now, since they have gotten Vucevic, is how he works with the rest of the team, but mainly Zach LaVine. You have two legitimate stars now on this team. How do you think that has gone in terms of the way those two guys work together?
On paper, we had a sense of this, right? I think we brought it up on one of the broadcasts right after the trade deadline, but Zach LaVine at the trade deadline, so as of March 25th, was the number four player in the league in terms of points produced as a pick-and-roll ball handler, and Nikola Vucevic was number one in points produced out of the post, as a roll man in the pick-and-roll. And then obviously all the numbers in his post-up game, I think he was third in the league in post-up points. So all these things that we thought were a possibility, now we saw play out the last couple of games, right? We saw it with LaVine and Vucevic on Sunday against Brooklyn, and we saw it, I think, in much more clear form last night against Indiana. And that's what you were hoping for, right? And we've heard everybody talk about it. Billy Donovan said it. We think they can be a very good pick-and-roll tandem. Vucevic and LaVine have both talked about it. And I think we finally saw the clearest form of what it can look like. Now, will teams adjust? Absolutely. They're going to. And there are a lot of very good pick-and-roll defense teams out there. Like, it's not going to be easy against Miami. It's not going to be easy against Milwaukee. It's not going to be easy against Philadelphia. But these are – that now you have some reinforcements and you have some aces in your sleeve that you can bust out now that at least teams have to scout, think about, and then physically defend in a game.
Yeah, and I was talking about this the other day. I want to see if you agree with me or not, but I think it was really important for Zach LaVine to get the whole All-Star game thing out of the way, because now he could just, and he said it last night, that he doesn't care like what his points are, what his scoring is, as long as the team wins, which is something that every athlete in every sport has to say. But I kind of believe him because he got the quote-unquote selfish stuff out of the way. He became legitimized by the All-Star game, and now he truly can worry just about winning. Do you believe him when he says that? I don't care about my points. I just want to win.
I'm not in Zach's head, obviously. None of us are. But what I feel, based on the same things that you read, the same things that fans read, what they see, what his demeanor is like, You can see this guy cares, man, and I honestly think he's tired of losing. And it's as simple as that. And whatever drives a competitor to flip that switch, this might have been it. Everybody reaches a breaking point at some point, and maybe for Zach LaVine, this was, you know what? There's enough of an adjustment in the coaching staff. We have a sense for who's around us, and then they make this big trade, and you've got to think, there's a little bit of weight off the guy's shoulders. I agree with you, Mark. I don't I think every player wants recognition and accolades because they're deserved. When you get those accolades and that recognition, it's given to you because you've earned it in some way. And I think he earned it. And that's a weight off a competitive player's shoulders who's been working very hard for a seemingly long time to try to make a mark in this league. And while it's not the end-all be-all, it's not a better honor than being all-NBA when somebody's basically considering you one of the 15 best players in the league. But an all-star nod still means something. It still means that you are playing at a caliber above, if there's 400 guys, you're in the top 25. And that's a big deal in this league. That means dollars. That means respect. That means, people want to play with you. All of these things factor into that demeanor. And Zach has it. And I fully believe him now when he says, now it's about winning. If it wasn't before, if you guys didn't believe me, then fine. Believe me now. I want playoffs. This kid has not played in the playoffs yet. I think he wants it.
That's Bulls TV voice Adam Amin of NBC Sports Chicago. I'm Mark Grody here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. All right, so Billy Donovan now has a roster, obviously, that looks a lot different than it did 2 weeks ago. Is this the first time this year that there has been, real pressure on Billy Donovan to take these pieces, experiment, and make it work for the Bulls?
I think even a simpler, more cliched question would be, is the honeymoon over? And I think, a little bit.
I like that better.
A little bit. And I think it's a stark reminder now that we're about almost 50 games in. I think tomorrow night's the 50th game for the Bulls. Now that we're at this point of the year and the roster has shifted drastically, I think there's a little bit of pressure. Now, what type of pressure is there? Is he going to get fired at the end of the year if they don't make the playoffs? No, man.
Right.
I don't think so. No. But that's pressure. That's pressure that other coaches in the league are facing right now. So it's not that level. I think there's a long-term plan in place, and it feels like Billy is going to be a big piece of those plans. I think this is a very good budding relationship between front office and head coach, between head coach and players, and front office and players. I really like the mix of this. Now, is it because maybe we were conditioned a little bit poorly the last couple of years because there have been mistakes made or whatever, whatever people's perceptions are? Maybe. The fan in me maybe does feel that way. But if I look at this as objectively as possible, I think there's a very strong and solid foundation being built between front office, staff, and coaches right now. I think Billy Donovan is in a very good place. And I think the rest of the organization feels like it's in a pretty decent place right now.
And I completely agree with you that, of course, Billy Donovan ain't going anywhere, even if the Bulls don't make the playoffs this year. But should Bulls fans right now, should the expectation this year be playoffs for the Bulls? Because I didn't think it was until that trade was made.
That question, I agree with you as well. I think there should be a little bit of an expectation based on what you see on paper, right? You have two All-Stars on a team, and your three through, let's call it nine, have all kind of been elevated slightly. Everybody got a little bit of XP just then, you're a little bit. Everybody's got a little bit of weight taken off of them because Vucevic pushes everybody down in the hierarchy. So I think when you look at all of those elements, I don't think playoffs is a lofty expectation anymore. I think this is a team that has enough talent. Again, injuries, who knows, blah, blah, blah. All that is a different – then the narrative shifts and the timelines reverse or whatever. But right now – I think a 7 or an 8 seed to be in position to only have to win one game to make the playoffs in that play-in tournament, to be a 7 or an 8 should be a realistic expectation for this roster. And if they got to the 6 and they didn't have to be in there, I think maybe that's an overachievement in a good way. I've seen most of these teams this year, and we call national games and we get a good feel for the league. I think this is a talented enough roster to be a 7 or an 8, and I think if they got the 6, that'd be a very nice bonus.
All right, since you mentioned the rest of the NBA, who is your favorite right now for the best in the NBA title? Who do you think, Adam Amin, who do you think has the best chance to win it? Because that's been wavy this year, man. It's been like it has changed a lot throughout the year for me anyway.
Yeah, man, it has. It absolutely has. It's been topsy-turvy. And again, injuries playing a significant role, as often they do. What do the Lakers look like when LeBron and Anthony Davis are healthy? Scary. They are a scary bunch. Harrell and Schroeder and the toughness that this team has. They have a really smart player in Gasol. They've added Andre Drummond. Like, that's a very scary roster at its peak. It hasn't been at its peak most of this last stretch now. So, you know, what are they going to look like come playoff time? Utah has played phenomenal basketball at both ends of the floor. Phoenix has played phenomenal basketball. One thing that scares me about Phoenix is outside of Chris Paul, there's a lack of playoff experience there. And I still feel like Utah, yeah, they just haven't put it together defensively. You know, they've won a couple series in the last few years, so I'm not fully sold. Denver looks really good, Mark. Like, Denver, with adding Aaron Gordon, has completely shifted how he's going to be, you know, perceived by the NBA fan come playoff time. The way he works with Jokic, how he barely has to dribble, he just moves a lot, cuts, Jokic finds him, Porter's a stud in the making, they've got a star in Jamal Murray, they've got the MVP candidate. I think Denver's as deep as any team, and even though they're not up there in the standings, I feel like they can make a real push. So I'm leaning Denver right now, Mark.
Wow, I love it. I love it. It's, you know, that's a little outside of the box, but I mean, you made an excellent case for it. It's funny about Utah. Like, Utah is kind of the team with all their depth and the team that nobody really wants to win, and you made a good case, too, about the defense. They remind me of, not because of the not people not wanting them to win, they remind me a little bit of the Derrick Rose joke, like the 2011 Bulls that went to the conference finals and lost to the Miami Heat that year when they had Gasol and a very good deep team, but just not quite there.
Yeah, and they're also one of those teams, though, that nobody wanted to face. Like, you didn't want to face Noah and Rose in the playoffs. And I think Utah still fits that mold. As difficult as it is to get over that hump, and I don't know, if Utah were to make a run to the conference finals, are they better than the Lakers? Because Anthony Davis matches up with Rudy Gobert really well. Uh-huh. And there are a couple of stoppers on the Lakers. Like, you can have Montrezl Harrell bang down against Gobert or favor. He's better than Favors, you know, their backup. They've got a lot of depth, and I don't know if Utah can overcome that, but that's not a team that you want to have to prep for. That's the thing. Like, they are a difficult scout, and they scout you very well. So, like, they are a threat in that sense, but I get why no. Again, this is why I'm not fully sold on anybody, and why you can make a case for. We haven't even mentioned the Clippers. You can make a case for the Clippers. They're still Kawhi and Paul George, and the addition of Rondo, who, you know, Bulls fans know how impactful he was and how impactful it was when he wasn't on the floor in the playoffs for the Bulls a few years ago, the last time they were there. So, you know, that's a very deep group as well, with a lot of playoff experience on the bench in coaching and throughout that roster. So, yeah, it's hard to be sold on anybody right now.
It's a great point. And Adam, the broadcast that you and Stacey King do is great. Here's what I like in particular about the broadcast. This is a small thing, or maybe a big thing. I don't know. I like the fact that Stacey King genuinely makes you crack up. I don't think I've ever heard a play-by-play guy crack up as much as you. Like real laughter, because we all got a fake laugh in broadcasting. Like, I could tell that he makes you laugh, and sometimes you can't get it together, and that's awesome, man.
Here's the thing. Stacey legitimately, and you guys don't even hear it, like, just away from broadcasting. He's one of the funniest people I've ever met, legitimately.
He does seem that way.
You could put him in front of the brick wall in a comedy club, you know, and he'd probably kill it, you know, first time out. He's legitimately one of the funniest people I know, but the reason I laugh as much as I do, outside of just he makes funny comments or has good references, because people might be like, well, it's the same thing over and over, and you laugh all the time. Because I try to get locked in, man. Like, you got to understand there's a context to this. Like, I'm trying to lock in. Hey, I got to read a promo. Hey, I wrote down this stat this morning that it's the perfect time to bring up, so maybe I can set Stacey up. And then in my own flow, he dropped something that I'm just not thinking about or not expecting in the context of, like, you know, our professional broadcast. And I just lose it real fast. And I think I recover okay. But for the most part, like, he gets me just about every time because I'm not in that mode. And he just brings me back to that place. And it's just a lot of fun to work with him.
Well, you guys are good together, man. It looks like back-to-backs, right? At Toronto tomorrow, then at Atlanta on Friday. Huge. I guess good day off today, right?
Yeah. I got to go for a run and enjoy the sun, and I hope all you guys did too at some point. But huge games coming up, man. The Raptors are on the heels of the Bulls, and the Hawks were, you know, top four as of yesterday. So that's a team that you can make some ground up on and try to advance further in the standings.
Well, dude, thanks for coming on, because one of the things, when I was doing pre and post in 162 games, one of the things I hated doing was radio on my days off. So I really appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks.
No worries, brother. Anytime.
All right. That is Adam Amin, the TV play-by-play voice of the Chicago Bulls, does a great job along with Stacey King. And look, I love Neil Funk. He was great. So I don't want to act like I'm disparaging him to prop up Adam Amin, but it's like it's a great broadcast. It's informative. Those guys know a ton. They have a, like, it's not forced. You know what I mean? That's why I said he's got the genuine laugh during these broadcasts. So it's great. And the Bulls right now, 21-28. They have 1-2 in a row. It was an awful 6-game losing streak, but they've gotten things back together in the last couple of games against Brooklyn, and then the great win over Indiana last night. Still to come. We're here till 10 o'clock. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Ryan McGuffey will talk White Sox with us coming up at 8 o'clock. Bruce Levine on the Cubs at 8:40. And you are welcome right now if you would like. 312-644-6767. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Thought we got bogged down late in that fourth quarter, about the 6-minute mark. You know, they were switching a lot, and I thought we got the ball on the side. They were trying to front Vooch. They were pulling all the way across from the backside. The ball got stagnant. But in terms of the ball going inside and playing through those guys, yes, you know, we've had to, you know, add some different things, and we'll probably have to continue to do that, you know, to play to those guys' strengths. But, you know, I think the game has probably gotten slowed down a little bit more for us. You know, we've, I think, done a better job, you know, since the trade of taking care of the ball, and, you know, hopefully we can continue to do a good job of not fouling, but we've got to find, I think, different ways to be able to get the ball inside to those guys.
That's Bulls head coach Billy Donovan talking about his big men down low, Nikola Vucevic. And, of course, he is starting to get it together with the way he works with Zach LaVine. Bulls with a 113-97 win over Indiana last night. I'm Mark Grody here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score with you until 10 o'clock tonight. I've got Ryan McGuffey of NBC Sports Chicago coming up in 15 minutes from now, 8 o'clock, to talk about the White Sox and an 8-4 loss to Seattle today. And, yeah, it has been a couple of really important wins for the Bulls, two straight. And I'll go back. And Adam Amin mentioned the Brooklyn win. I haven't really talked about that. But that stomped out what was a bad losing streak, 6 straight losses and against some pretty tough competition, but it was odd timing since the Bulls had just acquired Vucevic and they didn't win with him until that game against Brooklyn the other day. And it was a very impressive win, 115-107. And actually, the more I think about it, last night was fun and it was cool to see Vucevic do what he did with the 32-17, but the win over Brooklyn might have been the most impressive in that the Bulls were behind early. They had lost 6 in a row, so they overcame that, which is no small feat against a good Brooklyn team. I say good because they were without some of their stars. But they come back. They took over the game and then warded off all of the runs from Brooklyn, which is tough to do in the NBA. Every team makes a run, as we know, as the cliche goes. And the Bulls kept pushing them back. Like, they were comporting themselves as a veteran-like team in that regard. And you had big shots from Zach LaVine. Patrick Williams had one of his classic mid-range shots in the fourth quarter. Vucevic hit a big shot as well. Thomas Satoransky had an excellent game that day. So, yeah, that was definitely a hugely important game for the Bulls. But one of the biggest thing for the Bulls right now is how are Nikola Vucevic and Zach LaVine going to work together? That you have to make that happen because both, I think, are going to be around for a long time. So that's on Billy Donovan to make sure that those two work well together. Like, as you know, as I said, Vucevic last night, 32 points, 17 rebounds. Zach LaVine, 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. Let's listen to Zach LaVine from after the game because these are some really important words from him about that victory last night and how the points were spread.
In theory, there's going to be nights where your scoring obviously takes a dip because you've got another all-star who can eat and score a lot of points. Yeah. If that ends in victory, you're cool with your numbers going down?
I mean, you know me, man. You know, I'm more than fine with that. As long as there's a W behind there, you know, I'm good. And even, you know, I had my opportunities to get, you know, over the last couple of games. I'm coming back off this ankle injury. I'm trying to get my timing and my legs under me even tonight. You know, there was a lot of shots that I could have made to where I could have been at my average without shooting the ball 20 times. But he had it going. I think you guys know me. I'm all about winning and trying to, you know, get this team to be better. So if that means me, you know, taking a lesser role some nights and my scoring goes down, I'm fine with that as long as we get a win.
I think I believe Zach LaVine because a lot of times I'd be inclined to not believe an athlete if he says, you know, that if he's asked, why aren't you getting yours? It would be like, it would be something that would bother them. In Zach LaVine's case, especially at the very beginning of that answer, where he just does a little, dude, I don't care. I think that, and I brought this up with Adam Amin, and I think I've probably talked about this before, that him going to the All-Star game this year, it was so important to get that out of the way. And I don't want to downplay it. I know it's a big deal individually to these guys, and that's okay. It meant a lot to have the respect of his peers and from the fans and from the NBA at large. It means a lot, like the first time. I'm sure, like, for some of these guys that go to All-Star games every year, it does lose some meaning. But that first time, you know, you become a made man in the NBA, it's hugely important, and it may have led to some selfishness. Like, I don't think LaVine is really like that, but, you know, there was the empty calorie portion of his career where he was trying to get his, and I'm sure some of that existed in the first half of the season, trying to get his, trying to do everything he could to get the attention of the NBA and the national spotlight to get himself that individual accolade. Now he could take a deep breath and say, who cares? Now it's about winning. And I think I believe him. I think that his first priority is to win.
He's got it out of his stomach, something he's working on.
Jim, by the way, there is one similarity between Billy Donovan and the ex, Jim Boylan. Now, Jim Boylan, he took odd timeouts, like at ends of games when it didn't for teaching moments and things like that.
That's the
The growth plate, exactly, right. The growth plate from Jim Boylan. Billy Donovan loves him a timeout too, doesn't he? Now, he takes them at times that are correct, like when your team is struggling, but he does not hesitate to call the time. Like the early timeouts in games, he loves to do that.
A lot of third quarter, Grody. A lot of early
third quarter. Oh, yeah. Yeah, early third quarter or just one thing. And I don't know, maybe that's like the college coach in him from his Florida days where, you know, when college teams start to go bad, you take that timeout and when things start, you're right, early in games, early third quarter, if things start to get out of order, Billy Donovan puts those hands together and asks for the timeout quickly. So they both, Donovan and Boylan, they like their timeouts for different reasons. Sometimes when Billy Donovan calls a timeout, I'm like, oh, come on, just let him play. Play through it. Don't take a timeout. Let it go. But at least it's not like we're trying to figure out why he did it. I understand why he did it. Yeah. There's a Billy Donovan, the coach's timeouts when things get a little bit hectic and out of control. And Jim Boylan, there was no rhyme or reason for his timeouts at all. I want you to hear, too, now from Nikola Vucevic. This is, again, after the Bulls win last night, 32 points and 17 rebounds. And Vucevic talking about Zach LaVine.
It's great. I mean, you know, Zach's, you know, great player, and you know, he can score in many ways. He can facilitate. He does a lot of things on the court, and I think at times also he might be a little too unselfish, and he can be a little more aggressive, which I've told him. But it's great. I think, you know, the more him and I are able to grow and build that chemistry in a two-man game, you know, the better it will be, you know, for the whole team. And I think in this league, when you have, you know, a two-man game like that with two guys that can score in different ways, it's very hard to guard. And so, you know, we continue to work on it, to build our chemistry. I think tonight, you know, there were some plays where we, you know, we were very good, and we actually also missed some, you know, very good looks that we got out of our two-man game.
Yeah, so two straight wins for the Bulls. Started to click last night between those two. The Bulls at Toronto tomorrow night right here on the Score. Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington will be on the call. And then at Atlanta on Friday. So back-to-backs for the Bulls. Let's see if they can continue to grow that chemistry. When we come back, we do have to talk about this White Sox game today. Ryan McGuffey of NBC Sports Chicago will join us. We'll talk about the Sox 8-4 loss to Seattle. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Our goals for the season are to make the playoffs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.